those who are joining us via Zoom. We're going to continue on with our contemplation of these feasts that God has left for his people, you see, because God knows his people need to celebrate, yeah? Yes. Yeah, need to celebrate. Yes. And so our text for today, as we move on to the next feast, is taken from Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 22. Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 22. If you're physically able, you know we customarily stand to honor the Word of God as it's read. So if you would we'll read through these verses together and ask God's blessing on our time. Verse 15. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Verse 16. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of the new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2 tenths of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old and as a sacrifice offering, sacrifice of peace offering. Verse 20. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall make proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. It shall be a statute for you in your dwelling places throughout all generations. And finally, verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your fields right up to the edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord, your God. Amen. Father, we love you today. And you know and we know that it's only because you first loved us. And Father, we're grateful to be kept alive, to experience the dynamics of this day, to see what you're actually doing in the world in these troubling times. And we want to confess, Lord, that we're so thankful to know that the Lord is on our side, that we're not having to face these challenges in life alone. And we're so thankful that we've got your promises, Lord. We've got the Holy Spirit, Lord. We've got you saying to us, the joy of the Lord will strengthen you. We've got you, Lord, standing beside us. And we just bless you now and praise you. And we thank you for being right here in our midst. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you gather us together, as the Bible says, as a chick, as a hen gathers the little chicks. So we're just so thankful to just be cuddled up here today under your presence. And we want to confess that we're enjoying you already. We just enjoy being in your presence. And so meet us now in the scriptures. Help us to get beyond any troubles, any difficulties that we face today, and we have had many. But we're gonna accept the Bible's truth here. You set us to count it all joy when we meet trials of various kinds. And so every trial that we've had today, we just count it all joy. Hallelujah. It's all joy because you are causing all things to work together for good. And so we just praise you right now in advance for what you plan to do in here among your people today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. So we're going to continue on here with these feasts as we look at the next one. And just by way of an introduction and a quick review, especially for those who may be joining us for the first time, remember that biblical feasts glorify God, right, and edify his people. And we're thankful that God considers us, yeah, that he considers us in things like this. We've understood that as we look at these feasts, we know that they're pointing forward to Jesus, right? That they're fulfilled in him. He's the end of it. He said, I am what? The Alpha and the Omega what? The beginning and the end. Yeah, he is. He is the fulfillment of them. The first feast, you might remember, was a weekly feast that we looked at. It was the seventh day, the Sabbath, right? Leviticus 23, the first three verses there. The other three feasts were annual feasts. And they're celebrated primarily in what? The spring and the fall. Annual feasts. And then we saw that last week, as we looked at this, the Feast of First Fruits, that it was celebrated on the first Sunday in the week of unleavened bread with barley grain. Yeah. And then we remember that these first three feasts were linked together because they were all in the same week, Abib, starting with Abib 14, and these feasts were all in the same week. And when you bring them together, and they are pointing us to Christ, the Passover, starting the festivals with the death, then the burial, and what? The resurrection from the dead. And so these aren't just trite and trivial ideas. These aren't the ideas of man. God, when God does something, it's because it has significance to it. Yes? And so you and I are just digging a little deeper so that our souls may be rooted a little deeper for what we got to face in this world, to see that it's the whole Word of God, yeah? Not just the New Testament, it's the whole Word of God. We want to find nourishment from the entire Word of God. And so today, as we look at this next feast, we're just going to break our thinking up into these two big ideas. We're going to look at the origin of the Feast of Weeks, or it also is called the Feast of Pentecost. The origin of the Feast of Weeks, and then we're going to talk about the significance of it. And we'll be done. We'll be done for today. Hallelujah. So as we get back to your Bible, and we look at the origin. I just want to remind you, as we saw with the Feast of First Fruits, back up in verses 9 and 10, that it's the Lord who's speaking here, yeah? Yahweh is speaking here. He is the one who is giving these instructions. And so we never want anyone to bully us into thinking that the Bible was just a book written by men, and that these ideas that we come up with in these celebrations are just the ideas of men. No, this feast was from God, as by his divine authority, verse 9 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, right? And then, as you remember from last week, it's God's people who ought to understand these things. When you ought to understand when you hear from God. You ought to know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and what? They follow me. And we need to know the truth when we hear it so that we can discern what? Error and the lie. And there's so much deception that is going on in this world. So you got to know. You got to know what God has said so that you'll know when people are not saying, see, what God has said, when they are not saying it. And though we've talked about that enough, you know, when you, how do they train tellers at the bank? You don't try to look at every false currency. You just get so familiar with what? Real currency that you can detect the false when it comes. And so God's people ought to know his voice, know the truth. And you'll be set free, you see. You're not afraid to represent Christ in this dark and perverted world. You're not afraid because we know the truth and we're what? We're free. We're free. So God's people should know and obey. And then as we take a look at the specific instruction that we have here, you see that the feast began 50 days after first fruits. Get it? It began 50 days after first fruits, and it lasted one day. This was a one-day feast, and it involved a grain offering. Go back to the Bible. You see verses 15 and 16. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering. Verse 16, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. So 50 days after the first fruits, it lasted one day and involved a grain offering. This feast, the feast of first fruits and the feast of weeks always occurred on a Sunday. Yeah? Always occurred on a Sunday. The day after what? The Sabbath. You got that as we were reading through? The day after. You see that in verse 15. The day after the Sabbath. And you remember as we work through this before, that the Sabbath being seven in the implying in the scriptures what a perfection or completion, and so this is significant for us to think about. A seven implies that it's finished, and when we come to things like this and we see 7 days or 7 weeks, 7 years, seven trumpets, seven spirits, you see, all these things, and multiples of seven, 49, all these multiples of seven in the scriptures, it's complete, it's done, it's done. Hallelujah. And when God says it's done, what is it? It's done. It's finished. And so when he tells us that 7 days and you need rest, you need to listen to God. You've had a complete week. You've had 6 days. And so you need, you complete the week by what? Resting. You need to rest. And you remember how in the scriptures it said that the land needed what? Rest. What, right? In the seventh year. And to all of these principles, we need to, it's people, God's people who should what? Understand and obey. These aren't suggestions. God is the one who created the land. He's the one who knows how to best use it. Yeah? He created your body, and you think you can keep running day after day after day after week with no rest, but God says you cannot. And so you need to listen to him. Amen. You need a day of rest. Seven completes it so that you can what? Start afresh, start anew. And so We've got this whole principle right here, with the 49 being complete, and then 50 ushers in something wonderful, as we see 50 coming now with this Feast of Weeks. Now, you do remember, as we read through here, that, excuse me, several animal sacrifices and meal offerings were included in this holy convocation. Remember, as we read through, go back to verse 17. You shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread and to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. Now, I want you to notice this now. You're looking at it, and thank God we don't have to do it, because it's what? This has all been fulfilled in Christ. But if you lived in this time, you couldn't be sloppy. You couldn't just do what you wanted to do. Because what? God has given what? Specific instructions, right? They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits of the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma. You see, over and over, who is this for? Why are you doing this? You're doing it to please God. You're not doing it because it's easy. You're not doing it because it's a good idea. You're doing it because what? God is pleased. And God's people say amen to that. Anything God wants me to do, if it pleases him, I say what? Yes and amen. As King James says, yay and amen. Yay and amen. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the lambs, and they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. You see, this is it's over and over. You see, the emphasis is on God. It's on God. This is what God wants, and this is what we are. They, in this particular case, were to do. So you got it. You got it. You got it. Now, and you do notice verse 21 that this Sunday was a day of rest from ordinary labor of work. You see verse 21? And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all dwelling places throughout your generations. You see? Yeah. Why? You need this day of rest to focus on the things of the Lord. You weren't built just to keep doing work. And in our day and time, that's exactly what employers want from you. You know, they can keep up with you everywhere. You can do your work from home. You can do your work in your vehicle. You can do your work at a traffic light. You see, you can and we're buying into it. See people driving down the road trying to work, because we just got it built into us. We think there's something wrong with resting. No. Jesus had to tell his own disciples, right? You need to what? Get away. I remember back when Brother Brad and I were working together in the early ministries, and he said something that stuck with me. He said, sometimes the most holy thing a person can do is take a nap. Yeah. Yeah. That's Brad. Yeah. Yeah. See? And my wife gets on me all the time, because I fight it. She'll sit there and watch me sleep, and I'll say I'm not, and she... I'm not. Phil probably remembers this. Now, Phil was the one. I was going to say Dan was like this, but Phil was like that too.
We had little, y'all remember them little horses? Anybody ever had a little horses with the springs on them, you know, that you ride in the house? And we get Phil on that horse and he get to rocking. And he'd nod off and pretend that he wasn't asleep and wake up and he'd think nobody saw him. That's just in our nature. We don't want folks to know that we get tired. And he was enjoying that horse so much that he didn't want nobody to know he was so tired that he needed to go to sleep, you see. But you see, life is like that. Your body, God is saying, you need rest sometime. Yeah. Yeah. We good?
Amen.
Yeah. But also, you notice that God made sure that the poor were remembered. Yeah. You know, over and over, we see in the Old Testament that God remembers the orphans and, you know, and the poor and the widows and the orphans and the poor. And so, you see verse 22 here, and when you reap the harvest of the fields, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge. You get it? Don't just clean the field out. Nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Isn't that good? Even in this celebration, he's saying the poor need to celebrate too. And you can't celebrate when you're hungry. Well, I mean, you can, but you know what I mean. If you're going to love God and celebrate God, you're going to have to love people too, right? You love God and you love people. And you see, and I'm jumping ahead here, but that's what we're working out here. You see, hopefully you see that being worked out here. So the first fruits was at the beginning of the spring harvest and the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost was at the end. Now they were all in the spring, but one was at the beginning and what? One was at the end. You get it? This is so good. God is so good. And so those are. I just wanted to kind of lay down some details about the fundamentals of how it was when God instructed. And so take away from this that God. Believers must worship and thank God for his great provision, because that's the whole idea here. God is the one who's provided for us, so thank him. Take some time and thank God. I remember my wife and I this week, we were just sitting and just thinking. We came from such we didn't know we were poor, but I was going to say mediocre, but I don't know the right word. But you all know what I mean. We didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot. But everybody in this room now, you're way better than where you started, aren't you? And so God wants us to remember that. See, when you worship, remember that he's the God. He's the one, right? He's the one that has blessed us this way. All right. So that's the origin. Then let's look at the significance and we'll be done for the day. For the Old Testament saints, the feast reminded Israel that God is the giver. God is the one that gave you spiritual and physical blessings, you see. God gave you the law. You see Moses going up there and the mountain to meet with God. The mighty cloud descending down on the mountain. And the man of God is sitting there in God's presence. Who did it? It was God who was giving the law.
Amen. Yeah.
But when you left Israel and you had nothing,
It was God who gave you food and water. And the Bible talks about the miracle of how the shoes didn't wear out. All of those years, the clothes didn't wear out. Who was giving it to you, that blessing? It was God. So God is the one who gives us spiritual, right, and physical blessings. And they needed to remember that. They demonstrated their love for God in this section here, because he was the Lord of what? The Lord of the harvest. Yeah. We love the Lord of the harvest, and so you demonstrate your love for him. But you also see them demonstrate their love for people, don't you? Remember what I told you in verse 22? And why am I? Y'all been with me long enough to know why these two things are important, don't you? What did Jesus say? The great two commandments are what? Love the Lord your God, what? All your heart, soul, and mind. Love what? Your neighbor. And you see that right there? That's it. He said that's the whole Bible. And can't you see it? Just over and over. If you will, those who have eyes to see how God teaches his people to love God with all your heart and love people. Because that's all that's going to be in eternity. We thank him for the provisions, but we don't, see, you don't love your house. I know people say that. You don't love your car because that'll distract you. You don't love this thing and that thing. You love what? You love God and you what? And you love people. Okay. Now for the New Testament. Let's think about this real quick. In the New Testament, the feast is called Pentecost. And y'all know where we're going with this, don't you? The word Pentecost in the Greek means 50th. 50th. Man, we've seen why, right? Because it's 50 days. He said you count what? 50 days after the week of after unleavened bread. And so this feast was fulfilled when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit descended to gather the first fruits from the nations into the church. And we're going to read this. This is so good. I just can't talk about this. Let's just read it. Y'all okay with reading scripture? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to think about what the ground that we've covered as we read this now with this new lens of thinking about the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest. You see, you got Acts 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, how does it start out? When the day of what? Pentecost arrived. And your Bible? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a loud, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and they rested on each one of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. Now there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came, and at this sound, the multitude came together. And they were bewildered because each one of them heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not these all who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Yeah, on Pentecost. On Pentecost.
Now you gotta go with me now, because this is when it gets good. Jesus said, the harvest is what? Plentiful. And so now you gotta get your mind off of barley and wheat, and you see those things. The harvest now becomes what? People. Jesus told the disciples, you know how to fish for fish, but I'm going to teach you what? To be fishers of what? Of men. Brothers, sisters, we've got to get it just riveted into our hearts that souls are the thing that's important to God. You see, because 100 years from now, 500 years from now, all of this old stuff will rot. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. All of these things that seem to be so important. But the souls of people, you see, this harvest, this is so wonderful that we're looking at right here. This is a great harvest. And if you keep on reading down the first 41, you find out what? 3,000 souls were brought in from this one sermon. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Now they gathered to demonstrate their love for God and his people. And those of you who continue reading in the book of Acts, you remember? It said they continued to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and what? And prayer. You see that? And so what are they doing there? They're demonstrating that they love God as they devote themselves to what God has to say. But they're also demonstrating that they love each other because they're what? Fellowshipping with one another, breaking bread together. Prayer, praying for one another, but praying to God, showing that they love God. You get it? And so they begin. That's what our lives are now. We demonstrate as God brought us in. We were a part of that harvest out there that hadn't been gathered yet, but God brought us in, and now we're part of this great harvest, and we demonstrate our love for God and our love for people as the harvest, as he continues to what? Gather in. Because thank God he's not done. If he was done, we'd be gone. This thing would be shut down and we'd be gone. Yeah? The only reason we're here is that he's not done. He's not done. And so we too celebrate the fact that God is the giver of both what? Physical and spiritual blessing. You remember how Jesus said it in Luke 11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, your sons, your daughters, how much more will God give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? And so he's the giver of both physical and spiritual gifts. James said that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from what? Comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. He's what? He's the same. The same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He gave. He's been giving to us since our mother's womb. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's how we got there. We were what? Fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. You wouldn't be here if God wasn't a giver. He chose to give your parents what? You. Now I just want you to meditate on that for a few minutes. God chose to give your parents you as a gift, because he's the giver. Isn't that good? Every good gift. Every perfect gift. So believers must worship and thank God for the great harvest of the Holy Spirit. Well, we've covered the terrain today. And so, in conclusion,
my brothers and my sisters. Here we can see that the Feast of Weeks, or if you will, the Feast of Pentecost, was a reminder to Israel that God was the great giver. Yeah? He gave them their deliverance from Egypt. He gave them food when they were hungry. He gave them other provisions when they needed it. And he gave them the law to guide them in righteousness. For us today, the day of Pentecost reminds us that God is what? He's the great giver. The Father has given his Son for sinners. Jesus has given his life for our redemption from slavery to sin. The Lord gives us food and the necessary things for life. Our Father has given the Holy Spirit to guide us in life and to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit has come, hallelujah, to gather in the harvest of all the saints into the kingdom. He gives eternal life. He gives assurance. He gives guidance. He gives wisdom. He gives comfort. He gives conviction. He gives insight. He gives restraint. He gives intercession. He gives us sanctification. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us hope. He edifies. He gives us hope for edification. He teaches. He indwells. He fills a believer with power and so much more. So much more. So much more as he gathers in. It gathers its great harvest, and it just keeps on giving. It's like that verse there in the first chapter of John. It talks about the life of Jesus, and it said it was grace upon grace. And so it's a picture, if you will, of like standing on the shore. Anybody have ever been even if you've only been by a pond, it's, you know, somewhere that has enough wind where the waves splash. That's the idea. Just keep getting waves of grace. And that's the way it works in our life. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you ever look out there when those waves come, you just think, where they keep coming from? But they just keep coming. And that's the way grace is. God never runs out. Brother Lay read Lamentation this morning. Don't you thank God for that? His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies, what, never come to an end. They are new, what? Every morning. His faithfulness is so great. And so, that's the idea here, is that he's doing this great work of gathering in the harvest. This is why we worship the only true and living God. Yeah, this is the only true and living God. He made himself known to us through his Son Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we are part of this great harvest that he has chosen. Chosen by the Father, redeemed and ransomed by the Son, and indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit. God is worthy to be praised and worshipped. Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to have to leave you, but what? I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to quit, but I want to read you one more thing. Is that all right? Just one more thing. Go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to send you a helper. Why? Because you need help. We all need help. Oh, my. Acts chapter 1. In the book, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself, alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were there gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus whom was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I'm telling you, the wonderful blessing of having the Holy Spirit. This harvest is great. This harvest is great. And he's not done. And so for those here, or those joining us by Zoom, if you're not a part of the harvest, I just want to invite you. Believe on him. It's believing, becoming a Christian is not simplistic, but it is simple. Yeah? And it's not hard the way men have made it, but it's actually impossible on your own. But it's a great miracle that God will work if you only believe. If you only believe. Father, I do want to thank you.